בוקר אור, רבותיי. בוקר אור, רבותיי. We are now learning halakha. As our custom every day, at 10:15, we study some halakha. It's a good custom. All right, Rabotai, I think we're okay. We'll give another 30 seconds for our members to log in. And Bezat Hashem, we'll be able to start. Okay, I see some of our members already here. Baruchim Abaim. All right, Rabotai. Today's discussion in the halakha is a question that was sent to us by one of our members. I guess it's related to the matzav, the situation, and therefore he wants to know a practical halakha, how to behave. It's an interesting question. It seems that he has a family member that is very, very, very ill, very sick. And it's clear that the member is going through what we call yisurin, is in pain, affliction, whether it's breathing or infection, or it's clear from the family that the patient is going through yisurin, affliction. So the she'ela that was asked, it was a twofold question. You know, do they have to put their family's name, member's name on the Tehillim lists? You know, who wants to pray for such a person? You know, they're suffering. So what are you praying? You're praying that they should live? What kind of live? Or are you going to pray for, I guess, a miracle? Do we pray for miracles? But the question really was, he was asking even more aggressively. He wants to pray. That's it. Take him out of his misery. Let him die. And that's really the question. Can you pray for somebody to die? Now, let me make this question very clear. We're not talking about where you're praying that your competitor should die. We know you can't do that. And you're not praying for your mother-in-law to get sick. We know you can't do that either. We're talking about over here where somebody is going through yisurin already. They're sick and they're suffering. And obviously, nobody wants to see anybody suffer. And it's not an enemy over here that you want him dead anyway. Talking about over a family member. So the she'ela is, can you actually pray for somebody to die, to be taken out of the yisurin, to be taken out of their suffering? That's the question that was asked. I see some of our members are nodding their head, you know, this way and that way, and they already have made up their mind already on the decision on what the answer to this question is. So I'll just elaborate on what these nods mean exactly. I'm sure you're thinking about all this sugya in your head back and forth, and therefore you've resolved it with a nod of the head within 30 seconds. So now I will go through exactly what those nods translate to. We are beginning the sugya today in the Gemara in Ketubot on page 104. If you have the Gemara in front of you, you can pull it out. You can read it. I'm reading from the sugya there. An amazing story. Story time. Bahu Yomah Denachnav Shed Rabbi. There was the chief rabbi of the generation. He was called Rabbi, Rabbeinu HaKadosh, the great rabbi of the generation. Nobody wanted Rabbeinu HaKadosh ever to die, for the good reason that as long as Rabbeinu HaKadosh was alive, there was blessing in the generation. Nobody ever got sick. Nobody ever died prematurely. There was never a drought from rain. There was tremendous prosperity throughout Klal Yisrael, and everybody knew it's because the zechut of Rabbeinu HaKadosh. The Gemara tells us what happened on the day that he died. Bahu yoma denach nafshe derabbi, gazru rabbanan ta'anita. So the rabbis made a fast day. Uba'u rachameh. And they made a tefillah, you know, a special prayer vigil for the Benu HaKadosh, like we do, you know, they send out a Tehillim, everybody pray today. Ve'amre, and they said, Kol man de'amar nach nafshe de'rabi, yidakir b'cherev. Wow. And anybody that tells us that Rabbi died is going to be lanced by the sword. We're going to kill them. Abotai, there's a feedback. If somebody wants to shut their, mute themselves, so we can not hear the feedback, gentlemen. Just push the mute button, Rabotai. You see, this is the problem with the Zoom. The guy's listening to the class while he's making breakfast, so he's not even really listening to the class. You know, he's in making scrambled eggs, so he doesn't even know that he left his thing on. That's why, Rabotai, there's nothing like a regular class in a shiur. When this is over, we're going to go back to the regular sitting at the table, looking everybody together, not making classes on the Zoom over here, where it's a difficult situation. Anyway, so what's the Gemara mean over here? Just stamp this shot in the Gemara. They made an announcement. Whoever tells us that he died, we're going to kill them. What do you mean? Don't they want to know if he died? They'll stop praying. So I saw an unbelievable explanation by Shitami Kubetzit that says, no, because they didn't want to know that he died, because they want to still pray and pray for a miracle that there'll be Tehayat HaMetim for Rabbi. Now, if they know he dies, you can't pray for a miracle knowing. But if they don't know that he dies, they'll just continue praying, and maybe that prayer will cause Rabbeinu HaKadosh, who passed away, to be resurrected. That's how much they couldn't part with Rabbeinu HaKadosh. They needed him to be a... So they said, anybody that tells us he died, we're going to kill you, because we don't want to know. We're just going to keep on praying, and Bori Olam will do what he does. So anyway, Silika Amte de Rabbi Le'igra. Rabbeinu HaKadosh had a maidservant, so she went up to the roof. Amra, and she makes the following statement. Elyonim mebakshim et Rabbi. Ve'atachtonim mebakshim et Rabbi. Everybody wants Rabbi. The upper worlds want him. The lower world over here wants him. Hiratzon, shiyachufu tachtonim et alyonim. Hiratzon, let it be the will of God. Let the people on earth be victorious over the ones in heaven. Which means she prayed that their prayers will be more successful and they'll be able to, you know, win over the Elyonim that want to take Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Beautiful prayer. Kevan dehazai kamazimne da'i lebet kiseh. She started to notice how many times Rabbeinu HaKadosh has to go to the bathroom because he was sick. V'halatz tefilin umanach lehu. Before he goes to the bathroom, he has to take off his tefillin. And then he comes back, he puts them on. The second he puts them on again he has to go to the bathroom. So he was in pain. Ve'kam mitzta'er. She saw the tza'a that Rabbeinu HaKadosh was going through. Amra, so she says, Yiratzon, shiyachufu elyonim et atachtonim. She switched her prayer around. She said, Yiratzon, let the upper world be victorious over the lower ones, which means let the heavens win. Which means it sounds like she's praying for him to die. Velo avu shatki rabbanan milibei rachameh. Now, meanwhile, what was happening? The rabbis downstairs are still learning, and they're learning, and they're praying, and they're praying. Shakla kuza. So she took a glass, veshadya meigra, and she threw it off the roof. What happened when she threw the glass off the roof? It shattered into a million pieces, so it made a noise. Ishtiku merahameh. So the rabbis got startled for a second, and they stopped praying for a second. The second they stopped praying, nachnafshe de Rabbi, Rabbi passed away. So you see over here that amted de Rabbi initially prayed for the rabbi to get better. But when she saw that he was suffering, unbearable suffering, so she changed her approach, and she said, that's it, let the heavens win. Yiratzon, it sounds like it's a prayer. Only problem is, the rabbis downstairs were still praying. So she had to get them to stop praying. Because as long as they were praying, it seems that, you know, he was going to live. So she took this glass and threw it down, shattered it. They got starved. They stopped praying for that second. And sure enough, at that moment, nach nafsheh did it be. This is a very important story to answer the question that we have here today. There's a rabbi called the Ran, Rabbeinu Nisim. It's one of the Rishonim. Now the Ran is not in Masechet Ketubot, it's in Nidarim, Daf Mem, but he references this story. Now I'm quoting the words of the Ran. Listen to the unbelievable Ran over here. He says, Nir'e be'enai, dehachi ka'amar, pe'amim shesarich lebakesh rahamim ala hole shiyamut. There's sometimes that you have to ask mercy from God that the sick person should die. Kegon shemitzta'er hole becholyo harbe, where the person is suffering a lot. Ve'i efshad lo shiyehye. Oh, he adds one more condition, the Ran. Not enough that the patient is suffering unbearably, but there's no chance that the patient could live. It's an interesting condition he throws in there. Ve'i efshad lo shiyehye. And what's his proof to this? Kedamninan b'ketubot daf kuf dalet. Kevan d'hazay amted d'rabbi. Al kama zemnin lebet hakiseh banach tefilin v'kam mitzta'er. Amra yiratzon shiyachufu elyonim et atachtonim. Kelomar, he explains what her prayer was. Kelomar dilimut rabbi. So he explains that yiratzon shiyachufu. Bottom line, you know what that prayer means? Shiyamut rabbi. Now, when I saw this Ran, I understand his conclusion. He has a Beferush Gemara. The Gemara sounds like Amted Rabbi prayed and she prayed for him to die. My question and right away when I see this Ran is, hold it. What are you bringing me a Ra'aya from the maidservant? Bring me a Ra'aya from the rabbis. Which means... Who's the halakha going to be like? The rabbis downstairs were praying for Rabbi to live. So all of a sudden, you bring me a ra'ayah from Amteh the Rabbi in the place where the rabbis were there? On the contrary, the Ran should say, Rabotai, since we see over here a mahloket between the maidservant and the rabbis, because they continued to pray, pay no attention to what Amteh the Rabbi was doing. The rabbis were still praying for the Rabbi. And therefore, halakha is that even if a guy is sick and even if he's suffering, you pray to the end. Yasun yisinani yav elamavet lo netanani. You pray to the end of the day. And the game isn't over till it's over, like they say. And therefore, we should posek like the hachamim. When did we posek like Amted Rabbi? That was my first question on the Ran. The second question that I have on the Ran is the following. Where did the Ran learn in this Gemara that it's only in a case where you know the patient is going to die? Where does he see that condition? All you see is she stood on the roof, she saw the rabbi was suffering, back to the bathroom, putting on the tefillin, and she said, I can't, he's suffering too much. Yiratzon, let the elyonim beat the tachtonim. Where do you see in that sugya that it was evident to Amted Rabbi that Rabbi was for sure was going to die, that the Ran says that's the second stipulation? I don't see that apparently in the sugya, at least at surface. Those are my two questions. Understand my two questions, Rabotai? To my good fortune, I found a Sitz Eliezer, Rabbi Eliezer Waldenberg, that actually asks that question. The Sitz Eliezer is in his book called Ramat Rachel in Siman He. I'll quote his words. He says, Adraba, on the contrary, Mize shira'inu shirabbanan himshichu lehitpalel velo shamu ledebre amted rabbi. From here you see Adraba. From the Gemara you see the exact opposite. That not only shouldn't you pray that the rabbi should die, you should pray that he should live. Because that's what the rabbis were doing downstairs. That's the Sitz Eliezer's question. Umay hazit lismoch al devre amted rabbi velo al devre rabbanan. why did the Ran somich al amte de Rabbi and not on the Rabbanan? So I saw a potential reconciliation to this question. That's a strong question. It's based on a Ben Ish Chai. Our great rabbi, the Ben Yosef Chaim in Baghdad, he wrote a great pirush on Gemara. It's called Ben Yehoyada. So if you check the Ben Yehoyada on this Gemara Ketubot Daf Kuf Dalid, you'll see the Ben Ish Chai has a very interesting take and caveat that he adds to the sugya. So he says, this that the maidservant of Rabbeinu HaKadosh got up on the roof and she said, Yiratzon, Shiyachufu Elyonim Eta Tachtonim, which we understood it as a tefillah, that she was praying. The Ben Ish Chai said, no, it wasn't a tefillah. That wasn't a prayer. What was it? He says, "Amted Rabbi Yachufu Elyonim et Tachtonim, Zehaya Bederech Hoda'a, Velo Bederech Tefila." She was informing the rabbis. It was a report. Who knows the Benu Hakadosh's situation better than Amted Rabbi? She's serving him. The rabbis were downstairs in the Beit Midrash praying. They have no idea of the condition of the Benu Hakadosh. So therefore, she wants to inform them of how serious the situation is and how much suffering Rabbeinu HaKadosh is going through. So therefore, she got on the roof and she didn't pray to God. She was telling the rabbis, Yiratzon, take the man out of his misery. He's suffering. Which, what was her intention? He wanted them to stop praying. And the Ben Ish Chai's lashon is v'shelo yitpalelu yoter lirfuato. That's what she was. She tried to get them to stop praying. Basically, she was saying, "Listen, Rabotai, he's suffering so much. Yiratzon, meaning rabbis, it's already enough time that let the upper worlds be victorious." And what, AKA, what does that mean? That means stop praying. So the Ben Ish Chai learns from here a different conclusion than the Ran, that while Rabbeinu HaKadosh's maidservant was never praying for him to die, all she was doing is to try to get the rabbis to stop praying and it'll happen by itself, which we call that Shev Ve'al Ta'aseh, which means it was a passive move. So therefore, if you learn like the Ben Ish Chai, we understand it answers the question of the Tzitzit Eliezer, which means really The maidservant of Rabbi is not better than the Hachamim. We're not posek like the maidservant. But the point is, her job was to get the rabbis to stop praying. And sure enough, once she took the glass and she threw it down on the floor, and the Hachamim stopped praying, so Rabbeinu HaKadosh died. So, the Ben Ish Chai, it sounds like, has his own approach in this Gemara. So it comes out we have now, so far, the opinion of the Ran only. That's the only Rishon that we found so far that allows you to pray for somebody. And the Ben Ish Chai sounds like it should be a Shem Ba'al Ta'aseh. I saw someone to bring a proof from Yonah. Remember, we read the book of Yonah on Yom Kippur. It comes out that I'd like to explain this point over here. That means the rabbis, they didn't know how much Rabbeinu HaKadosh was suffering. And if they would know how much he's suffering, could be they would have stopped praying by themselves. Or could be even like the Ran, they would have prayed for him to die. It's just they didn't know. That means, could be we're posek like the Hachamim. It's just that they didn't know what was going on. So you needed Amted Rabbi to inform them what the situation was. And once they would get the information, who knows? Could be they would either stop praying or even maybe they would do something more like the Ran did. Maybe they would pray for him to die. So you have no ra'ayah, we're not posek like Amted Rabbi. It's possibly posek like the Hachamim. And she was just giving them the info. And if they would have gotten the info, could have been they would have acquiesced. Nonetheless, I wanted to bring, I saw they bring a ra'ayah from the Ran, Yonah, the story that we read on Yom Kippur. You remember that at the end of Yonah's journey, he was suffering. It was a hot day. And he tells God, Tov moti mehayai. And I'd rather die than live. Because he was suffering. It was, you know, exhaustion. Heat stroke. Oh, so you see from over here that you're now basically is praying that I can't take it anymore. Take my life away from me. Tov moti mehayai. Is that a good proof? Well, listen, if we want to be technical over here, at most you can only prove from that story that a person could pray for himself, but you can't bring a proof from Yonah to pray for somebody else. So, I mean, if you want to be apples and apples. And secondly, I mean, again, we know Yonah's a Navi, but who says that that was the right thing to do? Which means, listen, we know that Yonah ran away from God. That wasn't the right thing to do, clearly. So we don't know if that was, just because he prayed for himself to die, we don't know if that is the right behavior. So from Yonah, we don't know if we can bring a ra'ayah. I thought to bring another ra'ayah. A ra'ayah like this. The Gemara says in Berachot, so the king Hezekiah is sitting in his palace, and Yeshayah comes to visit him, the Navi, and Yeshayah tells him, listen, Hezekiah, pack up your bags, you're going to die, you have no life, not in this world, not in the next world. Meaning, write your will, write out your last will and testament, kimet ata velo tehiyeh. He got a decree from God in the name of the prophet that he's going to die. Hezekiah pays no attention to the prophet, and he says, I have a tradition from my grandfather. That even if a double-edged sword is on the person's neck, that means he's this close to death, you don't stop praying. And therefore it says, Hezekiah went and he prayed, even though there was a gezerah of death on him. And guess what happened? The decree was suspended. So, lechaura, you have a proof over here. That even if a double-edged sword is on the person's neck, even if there's a gezerah on him, you don't stop praying. So how could the Ran come along and say, you pray for the guy to die. The guy's suffering. Maybe we should say no. Listen, yisurin on a person is not different than a double-edged sword on the person. And a double-edged sword, we say, doesn't matter, you pray. So therefore, lechaura, we have a proof against the Ran over here. So I saw that Hakam Avadya Alav Shalom actually makes this observation. It's in his sefer called Me'or Yisrael on Shas, on that Gemara Berachot Daf Yud. So he says, Al Hada Amra Gemara Shafilu Chelev Hadam Unahat Al Savro Lo Yitesh Men Rachamim Shemikan Yesh La'ir B'Mash Katav Aran. We have a question on the Ran. That what? Shepa'amim Shiroim she'i efshal lechole she'yichyeh. Wait, the chole, you see, has no life. Sirichim levakesh alav rachamim she'yamut. V'haneh b'chol ofen noyim na'atzom rachamim. But we just see discrimination. You should never stop praying. So make up your mind. Should you pray to die, or do we say, lo yitya'esh min rachamim? V'chatav, he writes, yesh lomar, deshani choli bideh shamayim, she'al pi ha'teva i efshal she'yichyeh. The Ed Maskirim Ma'asin Nisim. Listen, don't bring me a proof from that Gemara. That's Mitabi Desh Shamayim. It's a different, that's not a natural case. It was a Gezerah from God. So in such a case where it's not natural, where there's a Gezerah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the guy from the name of the prophet, then already it's Ma'asin Nisim. It's an unnatural case. So over there, okay, you pray to get the Gezerah off. But in a natural case, like a guy who's sick, you have no proof. In that case over there where the guy's naturally sick and you see the guy's going to die, so Hakam Avadya says, you have no proof from Al Yitesh Min Rahamim. Al Yitesh Min Rahamim is on a Mitabi Desh Hamayim. But on a normal, natural thing that a person catches some type of virus or whatever and he's naturally sick, in that case over there, if he's suffering, the Ran says what he says. The only question is, how did the Ran know that the case is talking about where you know that the person's going to die? He puts that as a second condition. Maybe the case is talking about, Stam, you see a guy suffering, and you want him to be relieved from his misery, pray for him to die. The Ran says, no, you have to know. So I saw Rav Moshe Feinstein deals with this question. Rav Moshe Feinstein is in Igrot Moshe. In the Igrot Moshe, in Hoshen Mishpat, Chelek Bet, Ot Ayin He, he says, Sheharan Mayri Becholeh She'i Efshar Lo She'yihyeh. The Mekeban She'tfilata Shel Amtei D'Rabbi Mekubelet. I don't know how he knows this, but he says, it was known that the prayer of Amtei D'Rabbi was always accepted. She had a power of prayer. Everybody knew if Amtei D'Rabbi prays for something, it's going to happen. What do you think? Rabbeinu Akiva is going to have a regular maid? He's going to have a tzaddiket. She had koach tefillah. So it was known. And she knew it. She knew when she prays for something, that it happens. So what happened over here? V'lachen kishira'ata shelo et kablat tefillata. Over here she's praying for the rabbi. She's praying. She's not getting answered. From that she knew, that must be for sure he's going to die. From the fact that she wasn't getting answered, she knew. And that's the proof of the Ran. That the fact that Amtei D'Rabbi always got answered in her tefillot, and she's praying for the rabbi till, and it's not working. So therefore she was convinced that this is a gezerah that's signed and sealed already. So therefore, the only time you could pray for somebody that has Yisurin is if it's for sure. So Rav Moshe then writes, Ul anshe dorotenu, but for people in our generation, lo shayach davar zeh. Afilu legedolei Torah, even gedolim cannot predict if a guy for sure is going to die or not. He says, ulay yehidim. Maybe, you know, there's some guys hanging out, Sadiq Nistar somewhere. But he writes, shelo yadu alanu. I don't know who those guys are. So therefore, Rav Moshe concedes that, listen, nobody in the generation today could come along and say, yeah, I see an X on the guy's forehead. There's no way the guy's recovering. It's complete. It's finished. Game over. The end. No. Amtei D'Rabbi, she was special. But I did see brought down in one of the Sefarim that it's possible that we can rely on doctors in this case. I mean, don't we rely on doctors to eat on Yom Kippur? Don't we rely on doctors when it comes to their assessments to be Mehalel Shabbat? We rely on doctors for all cases of Pikuach Nefesh, for remedy, for medicine. We're talking about doctors over here that are credible. So I saw some poskim bring down that today you don't need a Sadiq Nistar that's hiding in his closet somewhere in Bnei Berak to tell me if the guy's going to die for sure. It's enough if you have a credible doctor or a team that comes along and say, listen, the disease is all over the body. There's no way we know medically that this patient, and the patient is suffering. So then you have the two conditions of the Ran. So my question then again is, can you pray for the person to die? So well, you got the Ran. Yeah, but we saw the Ben Ish Hai, and the Ben Ish Hai said, better to do nothing. You know, better to just, be passive. Sheh Baal Ta'aseh. So I did find, to my delight, our great rabbi called the Aruch HaShulchan. Aruch HaShulchan in Yoreh De'ah, Siman Shin Lamedhe Od Gimal. That's what he writes. He writes this as Pashut. He says, he's quoting a Gemara. V'chol ha-mebaker et ha-chole, anybody that makes the mitzvah Bikor Cholim, gorem lo shi'yihye. Bikor Cholim gives life to the sick person. Why? Shemitpalel alav shi'yihye. What happens when you get there? You see the guy, well, he's suffering so much. You pray much more stronger when you're by his bedside. V'chol she'eno mevaker, if somebody who doesn't visit, en mevakesh alav rachamim. The Gemara says, he's not going to pray. So listen to the language of the Gemara. En mevakesh alav rachamim, lo shi'yihye ve'lo shi'yamut. Interesting Gemara. If you don't visit, you're not going to pray for mercy either way. You're not going to pray for him to live, and you're not going to pray for him to die, implying that in some cases you're supposed to pray for the guy to die. But if you don't visit the guy, you're not going to pray either way. So the Aruch HaShulchan says, what do you mean? I understand pray for him to live, but what's the case that you would pray for the guy to die? So he says, Dilif'amim yesh lebakesh rahamim shiyamut. You should pray sometimes for mercy of the guy. Kegon sheyesh lo yisurin harbeh. בחוליו ואי אפשר לו שיחיה. כמעשה דרבי פרק הנושא כתובות כמו שכתב הרם. So the Aruch HaShulchan Rabotai was posek lehalacha like the Ran. And he said, that's why it's so important to visit the sick. Because sometimes you're going to visit the sick person and you're going to pray. What are you going to pray? For him to live. But sometimes you're going to visit the sick person and you know what you're going to do? You're going to pray for him to die. Because you're going to see how sick he is and how much suffering he is and the doctor's going to tell you he doesn't have a chance. Then you're going to use your power of tefillah to take him out of his misery. And therefore he says, that's why Bikur Holim is so important. Because you need to know which way to pray. Shiyihye or shiyamut. Therefore, but if you don't know the status of the patient, so you're not going to know. Shiyihye or shiyamut. So that's the Aruch HaShulchan. Is that the halakha? I did see one other approach. I did see another approach, which probably is, probably the middle approach. It's based on something that was brought down in a sefer called the name of the sefer is called get it here, one second. It's from Rav Moshe Sternbach, who was the head of the rabbinical court in Jerusalem. Oh, it's in his sefer called Teshuvot and Hanhagot. He tells a story that happened to a great rabbi called Rav Shmuel Rizovsky. Who was Rav Shmuel Rizovsky? Zecher Tzadik Levracha. He was the first Rosh Yeshiva of the Panovich Yeshiva. Originally, he was teaching in another yeshiva. It was him and actually Rav Shach. They were teaching in the yeshiva together. And then when Rav Kahaneman decided to open up Panovich, he called Rav Shmuel Rizovsky to come along and be the Rosh Yeshiva. He was the main disciple of Rav Shimon Shkup. They learned in the old country. And he also learned when he was young from Rav Chaim Shmulevitz. And eventually, Rav Shmuel would move to Panovich to become the Rosh Yeshiva. And eventually, Rav Shach would come and join him. He has some famous students. One of the students is the Rav Gershon Edelstein, the Gadol Ador today, the Rosh Yeshiva of Panovich, is actually a student of Rav Shmuel Rizovsky. We had a rabbi in Jerusalem, in Merkaz HaTorah, when I studied there, Rabbi Binyamin Moskowitz. May him be well. He's also a student. Rabbi Yehuda Ades, Rosh Yeshivat Kol Yaakov, is also a Talmid. He actually was a Havruta with Rosh Shmuel Rizovsky for a certain amount of time. And he was known for his clarity in the sugya, the deepest sugyot. He would explain them. He actually has a sefer that we use in the yeshivas, Hiddushei Rav Shmuel. These are all Rav Shmuel Rizovsky's Hiddushim on the most complicated Gemariot. Anyway, at the end, he gets sick. And he was suffering. So Rav Sternbach says that there's a story told what happened when he got sick and somebody came to visit Rav Shmuel Rizovsky. What he said. And this is the Lashon that he says to the one that came to visit him, I'm reading, Shagrash Rizovsky Zatzal, Bikesh Mebukara Be'et Mahalato Ahrona, Shit Palelu, Shakadosh Baruchu Yafridenu Mina Yesurim. That's the language. That God should separate him from the Yesurim. What does that mean? Ubi'er. Shiachol Lehit Kayem, O Al Yedesh Shehu Yazov, O Shay Yesurim Yazbu. Which means it's a clever way of telling them to pray. Just pray. He's telling the guy, please pray for me. Pray what, Rabbi? Pray that the Yesurim separate from me. Now, God can do that in two ways. Either he could take the Yesurim away from the rabbi, or he could take the rabbi away from the Yesurim, which means he dies. But you're not saying that he should die. You're saying the result that you want to have. And then God, it's your world. You know, Allah. God runs the world. He could choose to do it the way he wants. And the Rav came along and said that basically, the best way to pray them would be is, God, do what's best. What does it mean, do what's best? I don't want the guy to suffer anymore. Please take him out of his suffering. Now, that could mean two things. Take him out of his suffering, meaning take the suffering away from him. Or if you think it's best that he should be taken away from the world, so do that as well. So that's a medium approach. Now, I have a proof that there's an approach like this that exists. He doesn't bring this. This is my proof. The famous Gemara, there was a rabbi called Choni HaMa'agal, or I think it was Choni HaMa'agal, the Gemara in Ta'anit. So what happened? What happened was, he was a great tzaddik, and the Gemara Ta'anit, if I remember correctly, says that he fell asleep for 70 years. Don't ask me how you fall asleep for 70 years, but he fell asleep for 70 years. And some of our members, rival that, I think. But anyway, that's another discussion. So you have over here, he slept for 70 years. Actually, I remember the Gemara now. He read a pasuk. The pasuk says that when the Jewish people went to Galut Bavel, the pasuk says Hayinu kecholmim. It was like a dream, Galut Bavel. So Choni HaMa'agal asked, does a person dream for 70 years? Well, that's a long dream. Hayinu kecholmim, 70 year dream. They went Galut for 70 years. So the Borei Olam wanted to show, yes, a person could go to sleep for 70 years. So it says he lied down, he fell asleep. 70 years later, he wakes up. Now, everybody thought he had died already. He was missing in action. He was MIA for 70 years. Now he wakes up. He's alive. He goes to the Beit HaMidrash. He comes into the Beit HaMidrash. They don't know who he is. Again, this is already another generation. They never saw Choni HaMa'agal. They have no pictures of him. They have no recollection of him. He walked in. Who's this guy? They thought he's a Shadiyah from Eretz Yisrael collecting. They said, okay, come back tomorrow. They said, no, I'm Choni HaMa'agal. It's like a guy walking in and saying, I'm George Washington. We're Choni HaMa'agal. I thought he was a crazy man. You're Choni HaMa'agal? Where have you been all these? Nobody believed him. Nobody trusted him. Now, nobody wanted to be friends with him. Nobody wanted to learn with him. So he was suffering. He was suffering from this situation. He couldn't find any companionship. So it says they prayed that he should die. Ba'u rahameh. Actually, the language is ba'u rahameh. They prayed for mercy. Now, what does that mean, ba'u rahameh? I don't think when it says they prayed, it says ba'u rahameh umit. They prayed for mercy and he died. Now, praying for mercy, I don't think it means they prayed for him to die. That would not be called praying for mercy. What I think is what Rabbi Sternbach said. Ba'u rahameh, they said, God, your mercy, take him out of his misery. Meaning, either remove the misery or remove the person. Ba'u rahameh, God, do this in the most, in the way you decide to do it, in the most merciful way. And you see that many times in the Gemara, ba'u rahameh. So it comes out we have three distinct approaches. Either we have the opinion of the Ran that says, if a person is in Yisurin and he's definitely going to die, you could pray. And the way we'll know definitely die is through a doctor's assessment. And that's the psak of the Aruch HaShulchan, Halakha Lema'aseh. We have the other extreme of the Bein Ish Chai that sounds like he says, Sheva Al Ta'aseh. You know, don't do anything. You know, you don't have to pray for him to live, but you don't have to pray for him to die either. Take him off the list. Erase his name off the list. You know, don't do anything. And once there's no prayers, automatically it'll happen by itself. And then you have the middle area of Rav Sternbach that prays that, pray to God, do what's tov. Which means ultimately we want the guy not to suffer. And God, you have options how to make the guy not suffer. Either he's taken away from the suffering or the suffering is taken away from him. That's the three approaches. There's a sefer called Aderet Tiferet. In that sefer, he concludes that Al Kol Panim Nireh Sharotzer Lismoch Al Devrehem Shemutal Litpalel Al Choleh Mityaser Shiyamut Yachol Laasot Ken Ulam Adif letpalel shakadosh baruch hu ya'azor shiyeh tov. That's the best thing. Pray shiyeh tov. What does that mean, shiyeh tov? Upirusha shakadosh baruch hu ya'azor shelo yu yisurin kifi retzono. However God wants to do it. O shiyamut, o shiyarpe oto. So that's the opinions over there. Now, to conclude, there's a famous story told about the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Zeket Tzadik Lebracha. You know, the Rebbe used to send these shalichim, you know, all over the world. That was his understanding, that there has to be, a Jew in every community in order to mitaken the whole world. And he sent these guys to these remote places in order to make a tikkun. So now if you go to, let's say, Aruba, so you have somebody to make you kosher pizza. That's a tikkun for the Chabad guy. Or they have, we went to Mexico once, the guy's delivering us fresh baked cake to the beach. Okay, that's a tikkun for us, because how could a Jew go to the beach in Mexico and not have a kosher cake? So the Chabad guy was sent over there to make his tikkun, to make us cake. The point is, he sent all these guys for real tikkunim, to build mikvaot, to build yeshivot, to bring people back to religion. I'm saying, of course, that facetiously, the other part. They're doing a good job. The Baruch Hashem, they're doing a good job. However, there was one guy, he sent them to some remote place, and the guy was suffering. No parnasa, couldn't find a house, wasn't acclimating. The guy's health started to, to fail. But since the Rebbe tells them to go, that's it, they go. They don't question it. But after a few years, he sends a letter back to the Rebbe. I heard the story from the guy himself. He sends a letter back to the Rebbe and he says, Rebbe, I know you sent me on shlichut to this place. I'm asking the Rebbe, I'm suffering, I'm sick, I have no parnasa. Please release me from the shlichut. Meaning, give me a heter to get out of here. These guys are very loyal. They're not going to leave until the rabbi tells them, okay, you're exempt. So he tells the Rebbe, give me an exempt from my shlichut. So listen to what the Rebbe, brilliant rabbi, answers him. He says, my dear, Rabbi so-and-so. He says, do you understand that every person that comes into this world has a purpose why he came into this world? And your purpose is your shlichut. This position that I put you in is in order that you should fulfill your goal and your reason of existence. So then he tells the guy, why do you ask me to relieve you from your shlichut? Ask me to relieve you from your pain and suffering so you can fulfill your shlichut. That's what you should ask me to do. Don't ask me to relieve you from your calling. Your calling is your calling. That's you. That's what you're supposed to do. And you should have that in your mind, that that's not negotiable, your shlichut. Yisurin, difficulties, parnasa, that's external. Ask from the Rebbe to relieve you from the external so you can go back fulfilling your mission. Anyway, the guy says, he heard the Musar from the Rebbe, he sends him back a letter. Okay, Rebbe, I'm sorry. Take away the Yisurin. Sure enough, he says, I got better. I'm alive. I'm here today. I'm still doing my shlichut. Lesson being that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shiyaseh HaTov. You don't have to tell God how to do it. You don't have to say, let the guy die. But you don't have to listen, do what you want. If you want him to die, then that's your will. You want the Yisurin to go away, that's your will as well. And that would probably be the best approach in such a case, to follow the middle road. Okay, Rabotai, hope that answers our members' question. Hope it's not, halakha l'maaseh. I ask our members to be safe. God willing, 6:30, we'll have a shi'ur again on Ma'amar HaGe'ula. Yom Tov. Any questions, Rabotai?